crack bat little pop onto second. On to short, there's one relay, easy double play, and the game ends. All A's tonight, 5-1.
So the Pirates lose last night 5-1 to the lowly, what are they now, the Las Vegas A's, even though they're playing out in Oakland. There were 3,500 people at the game last night.
Really?
3,500. There were more people at the West Virginia Baylor baseball game this weekend.
Wow.
Than were at this Major League Baseball game. And I understand that. Can you imagine losing your franchise?
No.
Like growing up being an A's fan, you love Mark McGwire, you like Mark Mulder, you want to watch Barry Zito, all those guys, all the fun Billy Beane teams, and now they're just gone?
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous.
Almost happened to us.
It did with the Penguins. Absolutely mm-hmm. It did. And I would have cried, and I don't know if I still would have watched the Kansas City Penguins.
Probably not. Before.
Well, I love hockey. Would they have still been the Penguins? Probably not. They would have changed it up. They would have been like the Cyclones or something. I don't know. It would have been really depressing. So I feel for all those people that were at the ballpark last night because obviously they care. And then the people who aren't there, they probably just said, if you don't love us, we're not going to love you. It's just a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from our standpoint, this is a team that people largely now don't care about, and you lose to them 5-1 because, oh my God, you can't hit. These statistics for the last 19 games for these Pirates, man, are just horrific. They're 5-14. They have scored 50 runs in 19 games. That is 2.6 runs per game. The starting pitcher that the A's threw out there last night had an ERA of 7.06. It is not a stretch to say, Doran, that this is one of the worst starting pitchers, at least this year, in Major League Baseball. And the Pirates muster two hits on the night, both ground ball singles. They could have been no hit by one of the worst pitchers, one of the worst teams in the sport. And this is now a trend. And I think there's one man to blame. We'll tell you who that is coming up in a second. But Ben Cherington talked about his underperforming hitters on Sunday on the Ben Cherington Show right here on 93.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple that are kind of hovering right around the projection. And then, but yeah, majority of the guys are just not there yet. And I'm the reason I'm saying that is that, to me, I say that optimistically, you know, that probably means if we're making bets over the course of the season, we're going to see better offense. We're going to see more consistent at-bats and production from a bunch of guys just because the track record tells us so. So, and it doesn't mean the guys that are beating projections are necessarily going to cool off. Sometimes guys make adjustments or, you know, maybe they're getting some more opportunity or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we believe in the group. We believe, you know, the group of position players we have can be a really good deep group when they're just being who they ought to be or normally are, and that's going to give us good deep lineup decisions. Went through a tough stretch there. Hopefully we'll climb it out of it. Hopefully we'll climb out of it fast.
Yeah, went through a tough stretch there. No, currently still going through a tough stretch. Ke'Bryan Hayes is hitting .282. He led off for the Buccos last night. I don't mind that decision from Derek Shelton. But then you start looking down the rest of the lineup, Doran. Brian Reynolds is hitting .248. O'Neill Cruz is striking out a bleep ton. He's hitting .241. Andrew McCutchen is hitting .197. Jack Sawinski is hitting .178. Jared Triola is hitting .214. Rowdy Tellez is hitting .194. Michael A. Taylor is hitting .250. Joey Bart, who may be their best hitter with the power that he's provided, is hitting .241. Henry Davis wasn't in the lineup yesterday. He's been worse than just about everybody.
Half of your lineup's under 200.
It's a disaster. And so who do you blame? Like, when everybody's underperforming, it's low-hanging fruit. It's lowest common denominator radio probably. But let's just call it for what it is. You got to look at Andy Haynes. You got to look at Derek Shelton, too. Derek Shelton is a hitting coach by trade. And when Ben Cherington talked on his radio show on Sunday, he said there were three guys that are hitting above their projections because there's a public projections that they subscribe to, and then every club's going to have their own internal projections. Three guys performing better than their projections: Joey Bart, Alika Williams, and there's
Connor
a third
Joe.
One, Connor freaking Joe. Those are the three guys who are performing above expectations. Nobody is even performing at expectations, maybe keep Brian Hayes. So when it's this many guys that are struggling, it's not like you can say, oh, well, Henry Davis, you need to do X, Y, and Z with his swing. Maybe send him down. He'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, the lineup will be better. No, everyone sucks right now, Doran. It's got to be on Andy Haynes. I hate to do it. We did it with Canada. But sometimes you just call it for what it is. They're not getting coached well enough. Period.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Because whenever there's a regression by a player, by an individual, you're like, okay, like they have to fine tune some things. And why are they taking a step back whenever they were, you know, at this kind of level of at least hitting? But whenever it's a whole unit, basically, then that points to another. That's a bigger issue. That means that it's a team-wide deal,
yeah.
It's a team-wide regression, and there's only one place to go, or there's two places to go. You either go to what the individual coach of that trade, or you go to the manager. And I could see if it was just O'Neill Cruz and maybe Brian Reynolds, like you wouldn't be happy with it, but it's like, okay, maybe they're going through a slump, but this is a team-wide deal.
Yes, it is.
That whenever your best hitters are basically backups.
Mm-hmm.
The three guys that you named are backups.
Yes.
Those are your best hitters.
Joey Bart, who, you know, if you go just, if you prorate it, if you extrapolate his home run and power numbers, he's the best on the team. He wasn't even on the roster.
A month ago.
Like he was a mid-season add, and the guy has pedigree. I'm not trying to poo-poo what Joey Bart has done. Congratulations to him on coming here and being fairly impactful. But that is just unacceptable. Now, you can call Ben Cherington to task, too, for guys like Connor Joe routinely being penciled into the middle of the lineup, Rowdy Tellez routinely being penciled into the middle of the lineup. You would think year number five of a general manager's tenure that you would have players better than Connor Joe hitting in the middle of your lineup. Mm-hmm. Like Connor Joe, I think we all agree, could be an elite super utility player.
Yes.
But he's not somebody that you would expect or should expect to have to play every day for you because you need punch in your lineup. A lot of it also has to do with Brian Reynolds. You paid him, and he's hitting .248. O'Neill Cruz is supposed to be the second coming. He's hitting .241. Jack Sawinski hit 26 home runs last year and was hitting above the Mendoza line. He's now hitting .178. Like, you need these guys to perform. These are the guys who are supposed to be in the heart of your lineup, so I don't want to kill Cherington necessarily too much. Because those guys we thought would be good. Henry Davis had a hell of a spring training. We thought he'd be in the middle of their lineup. He has hit at every other level. He was a 1-1 guy. That's why I got to come back now to Andy Haynes. And somebody tweeted this out yesterday. I didn't write down who it was, so forgive me. Someone can text in at 412-928-9370 so I can give proper credit here. But Andy Haynes, going back to 2019 when he was the hitting coach for Milwaukee, here are the team strikeout looking rankings. Strikeouts looking. This has now become a theme for Andy Haynes. And I think he has totally neutered the Pirates approach. Fifth most Ks looking in 2019. Fifth most in 2020. Eighth most in 2021. Second most in 2022, third most in 2023, and now we're in 2024, and the Pirates are first in Major League Baseball in strikeouts taken. How many times do we watch this team? Guy on second, guy on third, guys in scoring position. They've got a threat going, and they look at strike three. It happens all the time, and we now have those numbers to back it up. Fifth, eighth, second, third, and first. And I get you want to get on base. You want to draw walks. You want to be patient so you can get the starting pitchers out and you get into the soft underbelly of these teams' bullpens. But I think O'Neill Cruz could benefit from being aggressive. I feel like Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Andrew McCutchen, Jack Sawinski, guys with power, guys with ability, Henry Davis, all these dudes could benefit, man, from going up there and taking their hacks.
Right.
You're seeing strikes. You're seeing ball. Like, if I were the Oakland A's pitching coach, why would you not groove fastballs in
there
first
pitch
every single at bat, man? Yeah. Like, the Pirates are easy to game plan for because you're probably going to get them to two strikes.
I feel like that there has to be more to it than that. I just, if we put our collective minds together, like what could be said to this team, to these players about this whole hitting deal and with Andy Haynes? Like, I get it what you just, you know, laid out and kind of the method to it, but there has to be something deeper for everybody to be on the same page like this.
I just look at it, man, like the proof's in the pudding. Like that's Andy Haynes' track record. And I understand the philosophy and the idea of it. See a lot of pitches, get to the bullpen early, draw walks, clog the base paths, and then you should believe in your guys' two-strike approach. Problem is, I don't believe in Jack Suwinski's two-strike approach. I don't want O'Neill Cruz routinely being in the hole with two strikes. Andrew McCutchen, that's different. If he wants to work counts, he's been an on-base monster his entire career. Brian Reynolds, I suppose I can get behind that. But all these youngsters, like Henry Davis, it should not be a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
That's what bothers me the most.
Yes.
Like, if there are guys, like, I just named a few. But, like, if Kutch, if you say, Connor Joe, you say, hey, you guys work counts, you should be our guys who are trying to drive up pitch counts. I totally get that. All these young guys, see red, hit red, man. Like, a lot of these guys have power, and it's been totally neutered because instead of saying, let's go up there and swing for the fences, it's let's go up there and try to draw walks. And I just think that's a flawed approach, particularly when you've got a young baseball team. If you had veterans up and down the line, like real long-tenured veterans up and down the lineup, I would understand that approach. But that's not what you got. You're making Henry Davis think out there. Mm-hmm. You're making O'Neill Cruz think out there. You're making Jack Suwinski think out there. I think that's bad baseball coaching. I do. And I'm not saying fire the guy right now, but he should be on notice. And Derek Shelton needs to wear some of this too because he is, like we said, a hitting coach by trade. 412-928-9370. That's the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, short of firing the hitting coach, there is something that the Pirates could do, Doran, I think, that would potentially help them. We'll tell you what that is before we dive headfirst into the Steelers at 6:35. Callis, you've had your first cup of coffee in your entire life. How are you feeling right now? Are you jittery? Is your stomach upset or anything like that?
No, but I do feel more alert.
Oh, I love it.
Nice.
An alert callus is a dangerous callus,
nice,
baby. And in the best ways. All right. We'll tell you what the Pirates can do to maybe score some runs coming up next. I had one of those nights of sleep, Doran, where you feel like you're half awake the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Baby was crying. We're reaching the four-month regression. You ever remember that?
Yes.
Four-month sleep regression. Baby's been sleeping good, and now 4 months hits, and it's just chaos.
Yes.
The midday naps aren't what they used to be. We're messing around with the schedule. We're trying to figure it out. And then last night, I mean, she was up and then asleep, and then up and then asleep, and up and then asleep, and up again. And my wife takes care of all that. She knows I got to do the show, but You get up when they get up.
Right.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And so every time I woke up, I would check the Pirates score, and I was getting more and more mad, and then I was so mad that I had a hard time going to sleep. They faced some guy with a 7.06 ERA, man, and they had two hits. Two measly hits. Two ground ball hits. It's not just a couple of guys struggling in the Pirates lineup. It's just about everybody. So what can they do? We talked about Andy Haynes' role in all this in our first segment, and we're going to get back into the Steelers at 6:35. But we talked about Andy Haynes' role in this, Derek Shelton's role in this. They could call up some guys from AAA and get a little reinforcement here, and I think that they should. You've got Nick Gonzalez, who was part of that second base competition.
He was.
Who was the eighth overall pick, right, in the draft. He's hitting .385. He got 14 extra base hits in 22 games. He's got an OPS over 1,000. Why wouldn't you call that guy up? I would send Henry Davis down too. Like Henry Davis is not playing every day. Him and Joey Bart are rotating a little bit. Joey Bart, he's been pretty good for the Pirates.
Who would you bring up as backup catcher?
I would bring up Yasmani Grandal.
He's
too.
Ready?
He's played six AAA games. I'd get his butt up here too.
Okay.
Now, Charrington talked about him on Sunday on the Ben Charrington Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. And there have been all those tornadoes out there in Omaha, in Nebraska and Oklahoma, like those big, did you see any of those videos?
No.
Oh my God. like cat. What
was it like a Wizard of Oz? Like,
bigger. I mean, these are. I mean, people died. Like, it's very sad.
Wow.
But the Indianapolis Indians had to have a bunch of games canceled, and so these guys have been kind of sitting on ice a little bit for these last few days. They haven't been playing as regularly as they'd like, and so they want Yasmani Grandal to play two games back-to-back, catch two games back-to-back, and he hasn't been able to do that yet because of the weather circumstances. When he does, it sounds like he'll be up here. I would send Henry Davis down. You got Jiwon Bae hitting .378 in 10 games. We know he can steal bases. We know sometimes he does some dumb stuff on the base paths. He'll get thrown out a fair amount, but you can't score right now. You got a guy hitting .378. You got a guy hitting .385. And they've asked each of these dudes to do a couple of things. They want to cut back on the strikeouts. Nick Gonzalez in 22 games has 17 strikeouts. That's not bad for him, especially. Jiwon Bae, the strikeout numbers have not necessarily been good, but he's walked 9 times in 10 games. You need something. I would not mind sending Jared Triolo down to AAA either. He's hitting .214. If he's not gonna hit for you, the defense hasn't been so spectacular. I understand he gives you some flexibility. I would send him down. I would call up Jiwon Bae. I would call up Nick Gonzalez. I would call up Yasmani Grandal.
Do you really think that those guys would be the fix or the Band-Aid, though?
I need to add.
There's a bigger issue here.
There's a much bigger issue. You are correct about that. A much bigger issue. Because they had a lot of these same problems last year.
And it's still early enough to not have to ignore that either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you could do. I don't get paid to do that, but I feel like it's still early enough in the season to actually do something about it.
Yeah, you're 30 games in, which means that the sample size isn't so small here that you shouldn't take anything away from the numbers. You absolutely can. But it's not like the season's lost,
right?
So you need to do something. I am looking for a Band-Aid right now, though. You got to stop the bleeding. The Pirates are going to find themselves in irrelevancy land, man. Like, real quick here, they're 14-16. I earmarked Sunday's game as a sneaky big one for this club because you could have won the series. You had Jared Jones on the mound, and he wasn't his best, but he still gives you a shot to win. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. You only give up 3. You lose the ball game against a San Francisco team that's not lighting the world on fire. They've kind of been in the same relative spot that you have. And the reason I thought that was a big one, you would have won the series, you'd have felt good about yourself, and then you got Oakland. Oakland's no good. They're 13-17. And then you've got a couple of other teams here that aren't very good. Colorado, Los Angeles. LA's got some good players. You got Mike Trout, but like, come on. This should be a spot where the Pirates can string some wins together. You can't let this thing slip away right now. You just can't. I know Paul Skenes could be up here soon. We'll get to him in a minute, but you need to hit the baseball. The problem ain't the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. Bullpen's left some wins on the table. That's not good, but I expect them to bounce back. The starting rotation has been basically very good, a lot better than I thought it would be. They can't hit the baseball. I don't know that Nick Gonzalez has figured it out, but he's hot right now.
Right.
So give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Jiwon Bae is frankly a good Major League Baseball player. But he's hot right now. Get him up. And Yasmani Grandal is a guy who's had multiple seasons, 4 or 5 of them, in fact, where he's hit 20 home runs before. Like, I'd at least like to see what he can do.
You say stop the bleeding. I feel like they need to not just stop the bleeding by the performance on the field, but stop the bleeding of the engagement of people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I see them doing that is bringing up Paul Skenes as fast as possible, even though you didn't want to. We talked about this, like, do you want to bring up Paul Skenes whenever they're, you know, in a rut and hopefully he can get them out? Probably not. You don't want to put that pressure on him. You probably wanted to bring him up whenever you're playing, you know, even baseball. But it is what it is at this point. You got to keep people engaged because you're getting to a point where it's, like, almost unwatchable.
I know.
It is. Like 2 ground ball hits against, like, a guy that you said had a 7-what ERA?
7.06,
like, yeah. And it's Oakland A. There's 3,500 people there.
Yeah.
You can't get more than 2 hits. You got to keep people engaged, and the only way I see them doing that right now, you could stop the bleeding. I agree with you, but there's a bigger problem. You need to try to fix that bigger problem, but at the same time, you need to keep people engaged, which is bringing up your 1-1 prospect.
I'm not optimistic right now that he's going to come up and help them significantly at all. It doesn't mean
doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean you don't bring him up.
Doesn't matter. He's there.
I'm with you.
People are going to want to see him play.
I'm with you. Get him up here ASAP. Yep. But I could see him going out there with a nice shiny 2.8 ERA and wind up going like 3-11 because they can't hit. And I did not see this coming. And maybe that's shame on me. And again, there's still 132 games to go. I understand that. But I thought they would hit. They are talented enough to hit. It's not a perfect lineup. No one was saying this was the 27 Yankees. No one's saying it's the 2014 Yankees. And we just saw what they did, by the way, to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's pitching staff is all banged up. Pirates could only muster a split against them at home. They give up 15 runs in back-to-back games to the Yankees because that's what good lineups do to beleaguered and battered pitching staffs. The Pirates weren't going to be that team, but I thought that they'd be a good hitting baseball team. O'Neill Cruz was hitting taters in spring training. Henry Davis was hitting taters in spring training.
Sawinski.
Jack Sawinski hit 26 bombs last year. You would expect a reasonable facsimile of that guy to show up. You're paying Brian Reynolds $100 million. There's four guys right there that should be able to carry a lineup for a week or two at a time. At least one of those guys. Keep Brian Hayes. There's five guys right there that are talented enough that this team should be scoring runs. And shoot, man, they're talented enough with just those five guys that they should be able to muster more than two hits against this horrific Oakland A's pitcher and pitching staff. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And I don't want to be low-hanging fruit guy. I don't want to be lowest common denominator guy. But when everyone is struggling, I'm going to put that on the hitting coach. And so that doesn't mean that Nick Gonzalez, if he were to come up, and G1 Bay, if he were to come up, and Yasmani Grandal, if he were to come up, they don't fall right in line, and they're getting coached by Andy Haynes, and all of a sudden they start sucking. It could happen. I'm just trying to catch lightning in a bottle here and doing something to punch this thing forward. As for Skeens, your point, he's going to pitch tonight. That would have him on schedule to pitch again on the 5th, and then the Pirates open up a homestand against the Chicago Cubs on May 10th. Dan Zangrilli has had that date circled for a long time. We trust Dan. He's not a hot take guy. He's just a smart, pragmatic man. I think that's when Paul Skeens is going to make his debut.
I agree.
And that'll pack the ballpark, and that'll get a buzz going. And maybe that buzz can filter its way into the baseball team and create a good feeling and excitement so they can have fun again.
Yes.
Like Martin Perez not that long ago said, I don't like our body language. All right, maybe that would jolt them. But that makes a ton of sense to me is to get Skeens up on the 10th and have him be here for the rest of the season. But I could see him going out just like Jared Jones. Jared Jones is what? On the season now. He is 2-3. He's been unbelievably good. He's 2-3 because they can't hit for him.
Because they can't hit.
Yep. It's disastrous. All right, enough on the Pirates because I'm just depressing. I'm just depressing myself. I think I'm depressing the listening audience. We're going to react coming up next to the moment that brightened all of our days and then ruined all of our nights. So the Twitter world was ablaze yesterday, and it was set ablaze by our friend Steelers Super Bowl champion Bryant McFadden, who tweeted out in the afternoon, "Oh, Omar is working. The Steelers are very close to landing a significant playmaker. Hashtag here we go. Hashtag stay tuned." And then Antonio Brown's pseudo company, CTESPN, tweets out, hearing big name wide receiver trade to Steelers is close to done. And look, we know Brian McFadden is, well, he's in the know. He's got sources. He's got people telling him things. He's been right on stuff before. We can rule out the Patrick Peterson deal. It's not going to be Patrick Peterson, though that might happen later on. I don't think he would do this for Pat Pete. CTESPN has been right about a whole bunch of stuff, too. I think he had Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. I think he had Justin Fields and Russell Wilson as Pittsburgh Steelers. There's been more that CTESPN has been right about. So we're all, at least I know I was, Doran, furiously refreshing Twitter, waiting to see if the Steelers make a trade. And then 1 hour turned into two turned into three, and then now here we are at 6:38 in the morning, and we still have no news on a Steelers wide receiver trade. Much ado about nothing, or do we think one's coming down the pike here?
I think something's coming down. I think you need to bolster that room. And we talked about it after the draft. It's like, you know, you got the needs that you actually needed. And you filled the holes and most holes that you needed to fill, but you still need to add, and especially that wide receiver two spot. Like Roman Wilson, I think, is going to be a fantastic player, but I don't profile him right now as a number two receiver. You still need to bolster that room. You still need to give Russell Wilson or Justin Fields somebody else to throw to. And obviously the corner spot as well. So that's why people were like, okay, like Patrick Peterson, the connection with
McFadden. He does the podcast with him.
Does the podcast. You still need a corner. You still need a wide receiver. I think something's going to happen. And Omar said, we said it yesterday. He told us that, you know, and showed us that they moved around some money from Alex Highsmith to create some cap room. So there's $7 million more there. They got to spend it somewhere. No, they got to use it somewhere. They don't have to, but they should use it somewhere. So I think that something's coming down the pipe. I just don't know who it's for. And whenever there's smoke, there's usually, you know.
Fire.
Right. So I don't know who it's going to be, but I know that we have a batch of names that we've been talking about. And whoever it is, if it's one of those guys, I think that that is a great move by the Steelers.
Yeah, any number of the guys we're about to mention, it would be a significant addition to the Steelers. It would help them win football games. Here's what Omar Khan said this weekend when asked if there could still be a trade out there to be made.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I've said it before, you know, if there's ever an opportunity to improve the team, you know, we're going to look at it, and if it makes sense, we're going to go after it. But, you know, we restructure Alex's deal, and he said it puts us in a position to be flexible with some things if there's an opportunity to do something.
So this is the subject of the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley. Which wide receiver would you like to see the Steelers get in a trade? Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Cortland Sutton, or other? There's a write-in option there. That would be the other. Here's the list of guys. Those three, Dorm, plus Devontae Adams. Although that's kind of been shot down, but we had heard he might be available earlier on in the offseason. Justin Jefferson is pie in the sky. I don't know why you would want to do that if you're Minnesota, but we've heard that name at least tossed around a little bit in some rumors. Chris Godwin's a name that Mark Caboli has thrown out there. DK Metcalf, another guy from Seattle. And then T. Higgins, I don't think that's really all that likely, but he could be available in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Of all those guys, who would you like?
I mean, Justin Jefferson.
All right, forget him.
Forget him?
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious answer, I think.
I don't know. It would be, honestly, between DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel. I think that they bring totally different things to the table. DK Metcalf, obviously, the big wide receiver, the big fast guy that could really be your number one or 1A, and he could control a lot. But if you want to go Deebo Samuel and work something out there, he could just offer so much to you as an offense. It's not just about playing wide receiver. It's not just about being wide receiver, too. He'd be a weapon for you. And I think the more weapons the Steelers have and Russell Wilson has, I think the better that this offense can. And with how Arthur Smith is innovative in that way and using different players in different roles, I think it would be perfect fit for the Steelers if they got Deebo Samuel. I really do. I hope it's Deebo. I hope that that's the guy that they're really targeting because I think he could really bolster this offense.
I've come around on Deebo, and I think it's because I want to see them make a trade so desperately that I don't want to have to shoot down any of these guys if they would be brought in. I think it's still a significant hole on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like the Roman Wilson pick, and believe me, I do. He's a willing blocker. He's clutch. He doesn't drop footballs. He talked after the Ohio State game about how they love Louis Vuitton, and they love being on social media, and they love all the things about being a football player apart from actually playing the game. He just feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. But he only had 100 yards receiving in one game. We get it. They run the ball a lot at Michigan. They hid the quarterback as much as they could at times at Michigan. But still, only one 100-yard game in his final year in college. I don't know that you expect that guy to come in and be a significant contributor.
Right.
Like, I think production has to matter a little bit, especially when you consider coming in day one and playing. If he's my slot, if he's my three, I'm feeling really good about
really
that.
Really good.
But if he has to be the number two behind George Pickens, who I'm not sure can be a bona fide number one, I'm not going to turn my nose up to any of these guys. You know, cost is going to matter. What you have to pay any of these dudes is going to have to matter. But if it's Cortland Sutton, who I like the least out of any of the options we threw out there, I'm still happy about it because it addresses a significant need, one that they didn't address in the draft. They just didn't. Like, if they had taken a Donnie Mitchell instead of Zach Frazier, I think he could profile as a number two and a number two right away. I'm happy they did what they did with Frazier. Mm-hmm. I'm happy they got Roman Wilson. They need another guy. They have an extra $7 million to spend in cap space. Urgency has been the word of the offseason. I don't think it's a complete offense until you get one more guy.
There's no doubt. And they created this hole. Well, Deontay Johnson created this hole, and they needed to obviously repatch the hole, and they haven't done that yet, and they know they need to.
You become way too easy to defend.
Yes.
If George Pickens is your one, and then I think basically by default, Pat Freiermuth's your two, and that's not to say we don't like Pat Freiermuth. I think he's a really dynamic catcher of the football. But you take the deep ball away from George Pickens, you're going to stack the box. You'll put one safety over the top. I'm not going to sit here and break down the film. It seems pretty easy to defend to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're being held over the barrel right now because every team around the league who's willing to deal a wide receiver knows that the Steelers are almost doing so out of desperation.
Desperation, yep.
And that's not a good place to be, and they did put themselves in this corner. We'll talk to Jeff Hathorn about this coming up at 7 o'clock. Brian Baldinger going to join us at 8. Both guys on the Fan Hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hell, man, maybe we'll actually get some breaking news on the Fan Morning Show.
Be nice.
We got Canada. We had the Gensel reaction. Come on, radio guys, just give us one more.
Be nice.
Just give us one more. All right, coming up next, before we do talk to Jeff about the wide receiver situation with the Steelers, it's a super exciting night for Doran and me. And you've got a chance to be a part of it. We'll tell you how. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, going to join us in about 10 minutes to get into whether or not the Steelers are going to make a trade at wide receiver. Brian McFadden, he tweeted out yesterday, they got one in the works. CT ESPN. We got to pay attention to that guy now, Antonio Brown. He says a big-name receiver could be coming in here. And we've talked about a number of the names in the last segment, Doran. Deebo Samuel was one of the guys that we talked about and a guy that really intrigues you. Someone texted in and said, doesn't Cordarrelle Patterson already fill the Deebo Samuel role? No.
No.
No. What you would be getting in Deebo Samuel is a better version of what Cordarrelle Patterson did for Arthur Smith in Atlanta.
Yes.
You'd be getting a bona fide number one, number two wide receiver who you can also hand the football to.
Correct.
Cordarrelle Patterson's on his last legs. They're going to use him.
But he's
going to be
a
kick returner. Yeah, but he's not. To expect him to be a significant part of the offense, I think, is to expect too much out of him at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have seen tweets ruling out the Devontae Adams angle of this. It's unlikely that he's going to be moved this offseason. I've also seen that it's been poo-pooed that now Cortland Sutton wants to remain in Denver.
Hmm.
I've really come around on that one, if it could be Cortland Sutton, just because the relationship with him.
10 touchdowns last year, too.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys worked really well together. We'll talk more about this coming up with Jeff Hathorn in a few minutes. But we've got a really exciting thing to happen tonight, Doran. Well, first of all, Pitt, West Virginia are playing in the backyard base brawl. There we go.
There you go.
It's going to be broadcast live on KDKA AM, first pitch at 7 o'clock, but it's the pitch before that that we're really excited about. About 6:45, Doran Dickerson and Adam Crowley will be, one of us will be throwing out the first pitch.
Yes.
Maybe both of us, I don't know. We don't really know the plan here. Am I going to be catching? Are you going to be pitching? Am I going to be pitching? Are you going to be catching? What are we doing here?
I mean, we haven't figured it out. We really haven't talked about it. What would you rather do? I mean, I threw out a first pitch last year at a Pirate game, so I can give you the honors of doing
this. All
right,
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll catch.
I'll catch for you. You will?
Yeah.
That's friendship.
Yep. I'll give you the honor. Now, don't skip it.
Oh, no, I'll groove one right in there, baby.
You better.
I'll go from.
It's a lot of pressure.
I don't know that they let you go from the top of the mound because they want to keep it pristine. Did you guys? You guys were on top of the mound, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For a major
side
league
of
game.
It, because we had to throw it at the same time.
That's right. If they let me go from the rubber, I'm going from the rubber.
Yeah, you should.
I'm throwing a strike.
I
two seamer outside corner, baby.
I would love a radar gun on you.
I'm sure they could. I'm sure they would. I guess they could have that happen.
What do you think you could throw?
Low 60s.
Hmm.
At absolute best. I mean, in my heyday, I don't think I was ever even touching 70.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a big frame. No leg strength.
Yeah, zero. No butt.
Bad elbow. The butt's coming around.
Mm-mm. You just got all back.
It's not a muscly butt. It's just a chunky butt.
Just back.
A lot of back. Curved spine. I got that kyphosis.
Yeah.
So you're going to let me throw the first pitch.
You throw it. Yeah.
Let's go. Yes. I love you, Doran. This
warm
is wonderful.
Up. We got to warm up, though.
You got to bring a glove.
I'll just use one of the pit players' gloves.
They'll let you think?
Yeah, maybe.
They probably
have extra ones.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think I'll throw a strike.
Get a nice catcher's mitt.
I have always thought I've really thought about this, that if ever there was a time I would throw out a first pitch, I would purposely screw it up so bad that it would wind up on SportsCenter, like throw one sideways, fall off the mound. But now, I don't want that attention.
No.
I wanna throw that thing right through your face.
I don't think that you're gonna make it.
Well,
I don't think you're gonna make it to the plate.
Why not?
I don't think you have enough.
I've thrown a baseball 8 million times in my life.
Recently?
No.
In front of people at PNC Park?
No.
Okay.
No, and I'm guessing the Pitt fans in attendance won't be all that thrilled about it.
Nope.
Probably giving me the boo treatment. That mm-hmm. might fuel me on. I'm a man that performs under pressure, aren't I?
Yeah, we're going to see.
Not at all.
We're going to find out. I know that. We're going to find out.
Maybe I'll spin a breaking ball up there. Just throw an Uncle Charlie.
Don't get too cute.
All right. We'll ask Jeff Hathorn his thoughts on our first pitch, our battery situation coming up. When we talk to him next, he'll be calling the game on KDKA AM, and then Susie Cool is going to be bouncing around as a, sideline reporter, and then also she'll be doing the color commentary.
Yes.
And I think we're going to hop on for an inning or two and
yeah.
have some fun with those guys. We'll talk to Jeff about that and what the Steelers are trying to do in a wide receiver trade coming up next. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com.